6:43, 1320 WILS. The TSA today announcing new security measures dealing with carry-on electrical items that are larger than a cell phone. To me, it sounds like longer security lines. Kevin Millott is with us to break it all down, international security expert at erase.com. Kevin, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you.
Yeah, this, why not include the cell phones if you're going to do the e-readers? Why do you think they didn't just throw the cell phones in there too?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think what you're finding here now is we're looking at the size of the object and the volume of explosive materials that could be put into that kind of object. And that's probably where they're going to be drawing the line. Now, the whole point that I would go to, I don't want to go too far into detail here, but if we're now pulling out tablets, which are smaller than a laptop, then it sounds to me like the bad guys have figured out how to use a more powerful explosive in smaller quantity that could still cause a problem for the aircraft. So the cell phone issue, and I thought that was interesting in the DHS release, there are a lot of different sizes of cell phones. And if you look at some of the ones that have come out, they're getting pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they actually start coming out with a size standard of anything bigger than has to go in the bin.
Hmm.
But the other side of it that's interesting, Mike, is that they're saying they're going to scan it with nothing on top or below the device.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells me also that they're worried about shielding of the device, and they need a cleaner picture of it with the scanners that they're using.
Hmm. The shielding, what do you mean by that?
If I was to put a device in my laptop bag, let's say, and I place something around it, it would make it harder for the scanner to actually see, for the security officer looking at the monitor, actually see what's inside the device. So I don't want any kind of objects above or below the device when it runs through the scanner, so I can see clearly inside the case, you know, the x-rays and the actual penetration of the scanner into the device itself without anything obscuring it.
And why do you think the electrical devices are such a point of interest versus just any other object that you can stick in your backpack?
Because for an explosive device, you need a detonation capability, and all of these things are detonated typically with electrical power. And so the cell phones, the laptops, the tablets all have circuitry involved in them for normal operation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can try to hide your detonation capacity within the design of the device. And that's why it jumps out as compared to the other things that people carry on.
Yeah. You've talked to Kevin before about dogs that can sniff out explosive components and so on. Would that be more effective than getting us to start pulling everything out of our bags and standing in these very long lines now?
Well, I think that the dogs are very, very effective. The problem is the number of dogs we actually have in the country versus the amount of flying members of the public. Dogs can work, but they have to take a break, and they can only be, you know, sampling for explosives for a period of time. They need to take a break and not be on the line all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of support elements that go with the dog. So if you try to have enough canines that can detect explosives with a tremendous population of flies, we simply not have the resources for that. But I still think it's a good thing to have available at the airports and maybe a good backup to it. They've been working at these 10 airports already on these new scanning measures, and they think they've got it down where they can move the lines pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
However, the only thing, I mean, that I look at is the scale of magnitude. The 10 airports they've worked at have not been the super big airports where we have the highest amount of flyers, and I'm so sure they're trying to break it down by the scale at each particular gate entry point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to require the public to be cooperative and to get their gear packed correctly and not stand there for 10 minutes pulling stuff out of their cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we get back to that conversation you and I had before. Do you want to fly safely or do you want to fly quick? They're not necessarily going to go hand in hand.
You can't do both, although they do have that clear line now, right? With all the flying you do, I'm guessing, do you go through that clear system?
Yeah, I go through pretty quick. I mean, well, the two things. We've got credentials besides that, but as a regular passenger, I can go through that clear line and go pretty quick.
Yeah.
And that's something people need to think. If you are, in fact, flying all the time, you don't want to be inconvenienced, apply for that with the TSA and be able to move quicker through those lines.
Hmm.
And by the way, by doing that, you also take extra people out of the line that are not of concern, so that it allows them to work the regular line faster.
I mean, do you think we're getting to the point where we may want to have some kind of generalized background check system before anyone gets on a plane, period, that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, everybody's always worried about privacy rights, and I get it, although we've got a lot of people now that want to extend our privacy rights to foreign nationals who aren't even citizens of our country, and that gets kind of squirrely, but the scenario is where do we look at in the big picture? The big picture strategy is eliminate the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Because every time we come up with a countermeasure or a new way to scan a screen, they're still working on making devices to get around it, okay? And that's big picture. Stop the bad guys from operating in the first place.
Right.
The second point is, how secure do you want to be? You know, what level will you go to be really secure? And the American public really still has never had that conversation. They just want to run into the airport and fly, but they don't want to sit down and think this through. And at some point, the elected officials are going to have to make some big picture determination, because everything we're doing is still a knee-jerk reaction mm-hmm. of the original use of airplanes as weapons.
Yeah. So, I mean, are the phones coming where they're going to have to do the same with the phones and maybe go beyond that? Are all these steps on their way?
I don't know. You know, I don't want to get into too far in the technical details, but you know, I was talking about this with my guys the other day about why don't the phones and the tablet guys put an auto tampering system in place that if someone opens the case to put anything inside, it automatically puts a message up that shows the device has been tampered with.
Hmm. That sounds good.
If you're a certified dealer or whatever, you can reseal it and take away that notice. But that an average guy couldn't open up and put something inside of one of these electronic devices without it being obvious from the outside.
Hmm.
But there will be more inventions coming along. But before anybody puts money into doing an invention, they got to know it's going to be paying back over the years that we're going to stick with this program.
Right. Kevin Mallott, international security expert at erase.com. Kevin Mallott, Kevin, it's great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.